Okay. We mentioned last shiur the Braisa Dafsamachlav, which said, had the story of the woman who was mishamish three times with the first husband, through the second husband, through the third husband, and if she's still in trouble, then she's stuck forever. She can't marry anyone until she does this bedikah. The Braisa mentions the bedikah after the third husband. The question is that dafka or lav dafka? Do we say, since the Braisa said the bedikah after the third husband, it's only mutter after the third husband? Or no, it was just discussing, you know, typical case, after the first husband, it's not worth doing the bedikah, because you can always try a second husband. To the second husband, it's not worth doing the bedikah, because you can always try a third husband. After the third husband, she's stuck. So the question is, just eats a tova to wait for three husbands? Or really, let's say she really likes the first husband. She can do the bedikah after the first husband and stay with him. Or is it dafka only after three husbands? So this is the machlokas Rishonim. Bedika achar, or let's even say tachas, right? Can't she do bedika when she's still with the first husband if she wants to stay with the first husband? Tachas baal rishon. Is it mutter, or is it asar? So most rishonim say lav dafka, it's mutter. You don't have to wait for the third husband. Just, right, this is Rav Rishonim. I'm not going to put them on the board. And this is Rashi and the Rambam. Neither of them are 100% explicit. Both of them, there's a bit of machlok is what they hold, but at least maybe, you know, maybe Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi sounds that way, and the Rambam is not really so clear, but Magen Mishnah and others interpret him as saying that. So there's a minority shita that you have to wait for three husbands. There's a majority shita that you could do the bedikah right away. What's the svara for having to wait until three husbands? If the bedikah works, it works. Why would Rashi and perhaps the Rambam have to? Well, let's say this a little better. Rashi really sounds that way. Let's say Rashi. He sounds that way, even up to your questions, and maybe the Rambam is really just very vague. We're not sure how he sounds. What could this verse be? So there's a few different verses which are brought up by the Achronim.
I mean, you don't want her to enter into a Safikari situation where you have another option.
Right. Maybe we only rely on this, the Makum Igun, but otherwise we don't want to rely on it. So what's the Svara? Right? You could give three Svaras. For it is a lismoch al bedika el of the makom igun. Maybe the svara is that this bedika is not 100%. Or will it be so mech on a makom igun when she wouldn't be able to get married at all? But just to say one marriage, we're not so mech on it. Even though often we try to be able to say one marriage. Okay, it's a very, very iffy borderline heter. We're only so mech on a makom igun. That's one possibility. Another possibility is the Magid Mishnah says, the Beis Yosef mentions this, says the Magid Mishnah, Gzeira Shema Tishamesh Imo Chodim Bedika. We don't allow her to do Bedika when she's with the first husband, because we're afraid that if we tell her she can stay with the first husband, if she passes the Bedika, she might sleep with the first husband before doing the Bedika. So we tell them, no, it's over, so that we can just get them divorced right away so they don't come to a mechshel. That's what the Magid Mishnah suggests. Or we mentioned last time, if I recall, I'm pretty sure we mentioned last time, the pshat of the Dagul Mirvava. According to the Dagul Mirvava, it makes a lot of sense. This is the Dagul Mirvava. He says, because ulai ein kol ha'etzba'os shavos. If it's only with one Baal, then ain't kol etzbos shavos. We don't know that all etzbos are the same. Maybe it's only that Baal's. So even if she passes the bedika, it's not going to help. The bedika, the kanev, the bedika won't make her bleed, but the Baal will make her bleed. It's only after three Baal's when we see that all types of penetration make her bleed. Then she can do this test. There's only one Baal, Ule in Kolatz Bo Shavos.
Who's that?
The Dogmar Vava. He's on the side. This happens to be in one piece. He's usually very short. The Hakane Eino Gorem Vadam Aval Aver Baal Rishon Yigrom Vadam.
Right. Combined with the first one, right?
No, the first one is just saying that this bedika is like only like a 51% proof, not a 99% proof. So when we line it, we're stuck. Here it's saying, no, the bedika doesn't even make sense after Baal Rishon. Here we're saying that it's equally a good proof after the first or the third husband. But we're relying on after the third husband because we're stuck. After the first husband, not so stuck. Here it's saying after the third husband is a good proof. Because after she has three husbands, we see all its bows are the same for her.
Meaning this could, the test could be like, like a different etzba.
Exactly. Once she's had three husbands, we assume all its votes are equal.
It's the problem with this guy.
Yes. Okay. So lemaisa, how do we paskin? So here it's very clear. The Shulchan Aruch paskin. Sorry, I didn't read you the Shulchan Aruch. In rotz lev d'gatz v'yodetach zarisha and ach shem shagimel pav marashus v'yada. She wants to. She's allowed to after the first husband. And we tell her slow. So this is the machaber. This is the Yesh Omrim in the Mechaber. If you were Sephardi, how would you think you would paskin? Motor or Usser? Motor, the general assumption of Sephardi is that when there's Stam, Yesh Omrim, Halachic is Stam. He says one opinion, Stam, one opinion, Yesh Omrim. Then the Stam opinion is how we paskin. In any case, for Ashkenaz, it's very clear, Yesh Lismo, Chasfar, Rishonah, Lehakel. The Ramah says, we follow the first opinion. Again, I'm not telling you this is Lamaisa. I've never heard of anyone doing this about this. Then Ergisha, now he's just quoting, it happens to be in the Gosmonios. In Ergisha, if it hurts her during Tashmish, which makes it more likely that it is from the Tzadim, then for sure she can rely on this test after the Baal Rishon, because there's like another evidence to say that it's really from the Tzadim. The Shach here questions this, and the Shach says that the Shach says no. After all, there are machmirim, and then he also throws in another big chumrah. What was the other chumrah? The Ravid and the Ramban. The Ravid was quoted directly, I think, by the Torah. The Ramban, it's found there. Say that we don't rely on this bezvanazeh because we're not experts in this test bezvanazeh. Says some people say we're not experts in the test at all, and some people say you can't do it after Baal Rishon, so the mice of the Shach was Machmir. However, the later Achronim are Makel, the Pesachim Tshuva quotes a few, and all the Achronim are Makel against the Shach. Halacha l'maisa, we are Makel about this, except that it's not so halacha l'maisa, because I don't know that we really get to that nowadays. Instead, we go to modern medicine and try to figure out what's going on. So that's Sif Gimel Dalet.
The number of as far as makes sense that you have to divorce after the third guy is.
No, because after the third guy, you've proven all its bows are the same. And once all its bows are the same, she passes the test that proves it's from the studen. And once it proves it's from the studen, now.
Sorry, wasn't that there's something specific about the three men that she was with?
No, because the point is, once it's three men, then it can't be something specific. It has to be everyone, because that's the whole idea of three, of Chesed Seol Panim. Three can't be coincidence. Right. I think when I was a kid, I saw James Bond, that movie. He said, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence. Like meeting someone three times is enemy action. And if it's three times, it's not coincidence. It's a rule. And that's where he got this from. He got this from the Torah, from Chazal. That whatever's three times, whatever it's true of three times is true of everyone. So after the third Baal, right, that's the Chab Dog Nevala. Aval, Achar, Baal Gimel, Muchach, the chol ha'etzba'os shavos legaba. Right? It's muchach that all the bows are the same for her. And therefore, even a fourth, fifth, whatever, it's muchach all the same. And now she's multiple all three pals. She can't technically go back to the first two because she's already married the third. But now she's multiple everyone. Okay, lemay sepna doesn't matter. We pass the kula. Now, sibdalid and some of the what the Ramban says, hey, is dealing with the next line of the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara is a cryptic line. It says, "Im yesh la veses tola be vesta." That's the next line in this Gemara of Ramah's Hashers. If she is a Veses, she's told in her Veses. How many different Pshatim are there what this line means in the Rishonim? Two. Okay.
Was Rashi and the Mordechai?
Rashi and Mordechai, is that it?
A lot of ways to understand Mordechai.
Okay, what does Rashi say it means? What does Rashi say it means?
That if she had, she was drawn a Machlas Tashmish in a certain cycle.
If there's a pattern to her Re'iyah Machlas Tashmish, let's say she's only Rav Machlas Tashmish every 26 days, then you can be told on the Veses, you can assume she's only Usher every 26 days, but the rest of the time she's Mutter. No, it's really not such a big Chumrah, because even if it wasn't Tashmish, she should be Usher.
She's only
Ramach was Tashmish on the 26th day. Right. Let's say there's a pattern. She was always Ramach was Tashmish, but in a certain pattern. So, says Rashi, if there's a pattern to her Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish, then she's only Asura on the days of that pattern. Okay, it seems like a fairly reasonable thing to say. Okay, maybe we'll get into it, some of the details. Seems fairly reasonable. Let's say, whatever, easy example. She's only Ramach Pasha Rosh Chodesh. She should only be also Rosh Chodesh. Why would you think she's Ramach Pasha on a different day? That's Rashi. Okay, what's the Mordechai?
If she has a Vesa Kavua, so if she sees during Tashmish, Lobishat Vesta, so you can... you can assume that it's not...
In Yeshla Veses Kavua Virasa Machmas Tashmish Shalom Bishas Vesta. Right? Which remember, since we're Trumasadeshin Yidin back from Kuf Pei Vav, so that also means if a woman never sees in less than 28, and she's Ramachos Tashmish in less than 28, right? That's like a woman who has a Veses. And so on that Veses, then we assume it's not Damnida, because she has a Veses Kavua. Why would she see Dan Nida not in the time of Esses Kavua? All the other Rishonim say, because she's Rav Achas Tashmish. But he says, Muchach dehadam ba mimakra. That's a big kula, this Mordechai. Mordechai is saying, she had the Esses Kavua, and now it's not the time of Esses Kavua, it must be a makra. It can't be that Rav Achas Tashmish will make her, that Tashmish will make her bleed against the kvias of her Vesses. If she has no Veses Kavua, then it could be. But he's basically saying that any woman with a Veses Kavua can't really become a Ramachos Tashmish because we don't believe the Tashmish made blood come. Because that wouldn't happen if she has Veses Kavua. Her blood would only come to Veses Kavua. So it must be a Makkah. Okay, that's a big kula. This is controversial and basically no one will pass like it. But we'll see.
Why doesn't it make sense?
What?
Why doesn't it make sense?
Because the whole point of Ramachos Tashmish is that she has this special other thing which Tashmish makes her bleed. And she got a Veses Kavua, but also Tashmish makes her bleed. That's why everyone else disagrees. Question is, could it be that there are two things that make a woman bleed? A Veses Kavua and Tashmish. Mordechai says no. If a Veses Kavua makes her bleed, Tashmish won't make her bleed. If Tashmish makes her bleed, a Veses won't make her bleed. She can only have one way of bleeding. And therefore, if she has a Veses Kavua, and it's not the time of the Veses, it must be that it's a Makka. Everyone else says no. She can have a Veses that makes her bleed and Tashmish that makes her bleed.
Sounds like his hanacha is that it's not possible to have two types of vests. Vests, my son, vests is mine.
Correct. That's his hanacha. Now, he doesn't have to say it's not possible. He just has to say it's not likely.
Or maybe halachically doesn't hold it.
Right. So it's a little tricky because we don't normally find that it's impossible to have two kinds of vestos. But at the very least, he would say it's so unlikely that we'd rather be told of a macha. But that's an assumption. The maestro don't agree with that. Maybe that's how we don't find that. However, what Isaac left out is Rov Rishon. What do all the other Rishonim say?
Because
literally what is Tola Bevesta mean, the Mordechai sort of Tola that it's not because of the Vesta, you know, that it's not anything because of the Vestas. Literally means Tola is from the Vestas. So what's the Shad of Rov Rishonim? I'm not going to list them. Basically all the other Rishonim. They say, M. Shimsha Samoch Levesta Virasa Machlas Tashmish Tolim Hadam Bevesta Velo Betashmish.
Let's say, yeah, she saw three times Rosh Hashanah was Tashmish, but each time it was during her Vesas. So we say, what are the odds that Tashmish made it happen? No, the stomach of the Vesas made it happen. That's actually very logical.
How should we Tashmish
do? Now, of course, what's the reason why probably Rashi and Mordechai didn't like this? What's she doing Tashmish during the Vesas anyway? She's not allowed to in the first place. So that's, let's see how the Shulchan Aruch passes.
But we somach.
No, but Pashtos, the word somach, means during the owner of the Vesas, which is when it's us. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch. How did Shulchan Aruch paskin? The answer is Dalit. In Shimsha, son of the Vesta, Anu, Tolan, Ri, Yasum, Shem Vesta, Vlochashvina, Lavro, Machlis, Tashmish. We paskin like this, Pshak, because that's most Rishonim. No, everyone else you can think of, the Ramban and the Rashba and the Raivan and the Rosh, etc., and the Rambam, all say, that's what it means. If it was, and the Achronim point out, even if, it, let's say, twice she was Ramachim's Tashmish on a regular day, and once during the time for Veses, then it only counts as twice, not as three times. The third time doesn't count. So it was during her Veses, and the odds are for her Veses. So that's how we Paskin like, Rov Rishonim. Of course, that creates a question of how can there be such a case, right?
Can you say that afterward?
How can there be such a case? Of course, some of us here are cynics. What would the cynics answer?
Avraham
Rav Shimsha. Yeah, she did the wrong thing. Who discussed this? All the Nosekalim here discuss it. The Mechaber doesn't discuss it. He's not interested in what the case is. That's not relevant to the halacha. But if you want some examples of what the case is, so for example, the Shach already discusses this, and the Taz discusses this, and they always point out that maybe we're not talking about Rashi, but it could be the one answer could be. I mean, I'll just give you a few answers. I'm going to give you all of them. A. Avraham v'Shimsha. Maybe it was talking about someone who did an Aveira. They violated the Isser of Vestos.
That's a shock.
That's, I think he says it someplace. Let's see.
Second big line.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking on the wrong side. He quotes a Prisha, but then later on, Elohimai Rishabra of Shimsha. Yeah, could be. Or another answer he gives is it maybe it was a case of Yotzei L'Derech, but not for a being of time. It doesn't work for a being of time, but for the other Rishonim, Yotzei L'Derech is Motzei B'Shas Vestos. Maybe it's a case of Yotzei L'Derech, and then he was allowed to be B'Shas Vestos. It's not going to work for a being of time. Remember, being of time says it just means Divrei Ritzoi. But and then the other Achronim give many other answers. The Prisha gives a Chiddush. Says the Prisha, and here it's a Machlokas. Okay, right now you don't have to pass this Machlokas. But most Achronim agree with the Prisha. The Prisha says, but it is a Machlokas. The Shach disagrees and most Achronim agree. He says, and I think this is what Eli was hinting at, Eli Weinstein, was hinting at the he says it means somach, but not in the same ona. What can that be? Maybe her vesas was the beginning of the day, and she was mashamish at the end of the previous night. So it was only an hour beforehand, but it was technically much. It was a different ona. Shach says back, no. The reason it was mutter is because we don't expect her period to come. We mutter shach. If it's mutter, then it's not the time we expect her period. But the priest says no. Basically, what he's saying is that it's not mamish the time we most expect her period to come, but we still a little might think her period might come. That's his chiddush. His chiddush is somach be'ona hakodemes. Okay, he's assuming that we don't keep the Urzarua, right? The priest doesn't hold the Urzarua. And he says, no, that's what it means. It's not somach mamish the same day. Somach the night before, or if it's night vesas, the afternoon before. Okay, so that's another possible answer.
Do you have a source for to say that somach vesas counts as?
Nope, he just made it up. His sources, he has to answer this question.
Just translate it.
I'll just give one other. Pesachim Tshuva hints at a few other ones. I'll just give one other, which is the Balamor. The Balamor, as I saw in the Balei Nefesh, says it can't be an Aveira. Chazal can't be talking about someone who does an Aveira. So then what's the case? He gives a great answer, the Raza. Let's go to the Pesachim Tshuva here. He says it's talking about a veset haguf. Okay, you have to explain a little. It's not talking about a veset of days. It's talking about a veset of symptoms in her guf. And what does that mean? Let's say she had a veset of sneezing, you know, or whatever it may be. You know, sneezing is her veset. So what might have happened? She was mishamish, and all of a sudden she started sneezing. And then she was roa during the tashmish. And it's not her fault. She didn't know she would sneeze. In that case, you can say, it's because of the sneezing, not because of the tashmish. Okay, that's a chiddush, because if you analyze it logically, you could disagree with him. That's it. And the Pesukei Truk brings a bunch of other answers also. You know, you can always come up with creative scenarios, you know, based on certain assumptions, just based on creativity. Lemaisa, you could either say the Navera or come up with creative scenarios. But that's the mainstream psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Do we rely on the Mordechai's pshat and Rashi's pshat? So we'll have to see that in the upcoming Se'ifim. In Se'if Hey, we'll see if we rely on the Mordechai's pshat, and in Se'if Yud, we'll get back to analyzing Rashi's pshat. But for now, the Iker pshat we hold from is the pshat of most Rishonim, which makes sense. It's the pshat of most Rishonim. Now we're ready for Se'if Hey. Se'if Hey starts out fairly innocently. It starts out with the next line in the Braisa there in Daf Samach Vav, where this siman is just quoting more or less lines in the Braisa and adding words in. She said, hey, im yesh maka ba'oso makam, if she is a maka in that place. Now, what does that place mean? Here it's a little tricky, because there are two places we're dealing with. One place is the makar. Then there is what we call the tzadim. What does the tzadim mean? The tzadim is what we call the beis hachitzon, right? The makor is the womb, is the uterus, right? That's where babies grow until they're ready to be born, right? The beis hachitzon, which is the tzadim, the side of the beis hachitzon, that's the makom of tashmish, right? And usually when Chazal say the phrase oso makom, you know, which is sort of a euphemistic expression, right? So it's a euphemistic expression, not for the uterus. Because the uterus is not something which is, you know, sort of immodest to discuss. It's usually a euphemistic expression for what we call the beis hachitzel, for the place where the Eber goes during tashmish. In this case, however, ba'oso makom, the shach already brings the bach, who says is somewhat indirectly, he says the pasha pshat of the oso makom that we're dealing with here, it gets complicated, but oso makom means the place the blood is coming from. So let's say the blood, go back to our example. In the case of the Braisa, what was the case? The woman failed the Bedika test. Right? She found blood at the top. She found blood at the top, failed the Bedika test, and she knows the blood is coming from the makor. So what does it mean here? It means if she's a maka in her makor, she has a wound or an injury in her womb, which bleeds, then tolim b'damakasa, we can be told that the blood is from a maka and not dam nida. What are we assuming here? We're assuming here something which is very explicit in the Gemara, that blood, not all blood from the uterus is metame. Only dam nida from the uterus is metame, which means menstrual blood. Where does menstrual blood come from? It comes from the... Okay, we've got some biology textbooks here. But there's an endometrial lining. Basically, the makor is like a organ with space inside. And a certain lining grows on it every month. And the purpose of that lining, if I understand correctly, is that if an egg is fertilized, it sort of lands there and then starts growing there, and it's the right environment for the egg to grow, and then eventually become an embryo and a fetus, and then a person. And what happens if she doesn't get pregnant? The month is over. There's a certain time of the month she can get pregnant. And she didn't get pregnant. There's no fertilized egg, right? Usually a woman's body releases an egg every month. It sort of sits around waiting to be fertilized. And let's say, I don't know, let's say she's single. I mean, not that that would be halacha l'maisa for us in this case. Or let's say, whatever, they weren't mishamish at the right time. and there was no sperm, or they were, and it still doesn't, there's no guarantee. They were mishamish, but the sperm didn't meet the egg, and it didn't work, right? That's not automatic. You need to have the shmaya for that to work. The statistics are, I don't know, the average or at least median, even if they're mishamish all the time, how much they're supposed to, it still takes around 6 months to work because the sperm doesn't always go into the egg for whatever reason, which is beyond my expertise. Anyway, so what happens if there's no fertilized egg? The body sort of notices and sends out a certain hormone, and all that lining, the blood-rich endometrial lining, sheds and liquefies and comes out, and that's the damnita. Okay, that's damnita. But what if stam you have a cut in the mucker? Okay, how you get a cut in the mucker is a little tricky. But I don't know, someone shoots you with an arrow and it goes all the way into the mucker. Or whatever used to happen in the old days. Or you could have, I'll admit, makas in the mucker are not so common nowadays. Because we have modern medicine, usually if you have a bleeding wound in the inside of your body, an internal organ, you try to get it taken care of. And they try to deal with it somehow. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But sometimes you can have like certain types of growths, like fibroids or things like that, that actually can cause a disease in the mucker and bleed, not by this process of the endometrial lining, just like regular bleeding if something goes wrong in your body. Same as you can bleed in any other organ. I'm not saying it's a safe thing. It's never going to be good in the long run. But what if you have a maca in the mucker? You can have very rare cases. I don't know, nowadays with some medical procedure, they'll stick something inside the mucker, which is pretty rare, and make a cut. And if you have a maca in the mucker, that is not damnita, that's not maca. And it is tahor, it's perfectly fine. So, what if she has a maca in her mucker, and then she bleeds? But she doesn't know. How does she know this blood is from the maca? Or this blood is from tashmish-caused menstruation. How does she know? So the answer is, the Gemara says, tolim b'dam makasa. We're told that the dam is from the maka.
But post-pregnancy wouldn't be an example of
maka? No, so post-pregnancy, a woman bleeds a lot from the makor, but the bleeding post-pregnancy is not from... Meaning, sometimes you could have... You usually generally don't have a maka in the mucker post-pregnancy. Sometimes you could have a maka in the beis achitzo post-pregnancy. Something ripped and they sewed it up, etc. But inside the lots of bleeding that happens to a woman if she gives birth, that is not the maka, that is the... I'm not sure exactly, it's not exactly the same as menstruation, but that is part of the natural process of the uterus sort of shedding its growth that it grew a certain environment for the baby to grow in, and now it needs to sort of get rid of that. That's part of the hormonal process of just getting rid of the stuff that it built up to support a baby. And that kind of bleeding is not from an injury at all. That's just getting rid of the blood that was there as part of the biological cycle, and that's considered like damnita. So that's not from a maca. Well, before a maca, if a woman had a surgery in the mucker or something, then, she might have dam maca. But that is not a terribly common thing. Anyway, so we say tola b'dam makasa. The im, she's told us, she assumes it's from the maca and not from ro machas tashmash. Okay, exactly why, we'll have to figure out. The im dam makasa mishuna midam riyasa. What if the dam for maka is a different color from the dam of her nida, which might make sense. After all, it's a different kind of blood. Then, eino tola b'dam makasa, she is not tola in the maka.
Does it only have to be different in color?
I mean, that's the normal way you would tell. Theoretically, any way you could tell.
Like, let's say a woman has a very heavy blow, and now it's just coming out as a drip.
No, that's just amount. That's not, amount is not a difference. So, what are we saying? You could be told, minastam, you're told in the maka, unless you know that this is not the color of your, unless you know it's different colors, and what comes out now is the Nida color, not the Maka color. Let's say you know the Maka color is lighter and the Nida color is darker, and now dark comes out. Then you can't be told the Maka because you have evidence it's from the Nida. But until you know, you can be told it. Here it got a little tricky. The Ramban, quote in the Torah, says nowadays you can't be told of a Maka. And he gave two reasons why you can't be told of a Maka nowadays. Right? He doesn't even make it to be mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramban gave two reasons why nowadays you can't be told that in a Maka. And the Ravid said a similar thing. What were the two reasons? What were the two reasons the Ramban gave why you can't be told it? Oh, sorry. I kept it here. So one, he says, we're not Bekiyim nowadays. Again, this is before the Ramban, he says, we're not Bekiyim in comparing models. One second, let me just find the right one. Yeah, and the right that said earlier. So, what's the reasons Machmirim Bidam Maka Bisman Hazeh? One is the Ramban. He says, Ein Anu Bekiyim Bimaros, right? We know, I didn't mention this yet, this is the very next simon in Shulchan Aruch, which may take us till after Yatzif to get to. But nowadays we're not bekiyim in the exact colors. So he says we're not bekiyim in colors. How do we know if it's the color of her nida or the color of her maka? So we can't be makom. Why do we reject him? We reject him for two reasons. Why do we reject him? Because A, we're not Bekiyim. What does it mean we're not Bekiyim in colors? Chazal gave a certain Masorah. There's a difference between the color of Meitilsan and the color. They use things from their days to describe colors. You know, the color of you mix this amount of dirt from this field with something. And we're not Bekiyim in that anymore. But if you want to know if there are two colors, does it look more like A or more like B? You don't need a Bekiyus for that, right? If I give you two things, and I say, here's two. Tell me, is this more like this one or that one? Right? Here's her Nida blood from yesterday. Here's her Maka blood from yesterday. Here's what came out now. Tell me, which one is it like? You don't need Bekiyas. You just look at it. It's either like this or like that. So one, you don't need Bekiyas. You need Bekiyas if I were to tell you, I don't know, what's the equivalent nowadays? If I were to tell you, I remember when I was a kid, we used to get the Sears catalog. And I was always spoiled on the Sears catalog, like how many colors they had. Because I only knew of like 10 or 12 colors. They came with my Crayola crayons. And all of a sudden, they were selling linens there and everything. And there are these colors I never heard of. Like, what's the difference between, I don't know, strawberry wheat and, you know, whatever it is. I don't know, what's between chartreuse and whatever's similar to chartreuse, which I don't know what it is. What is chartreuse? See? So that, we don't have the keys. You're not going to really be able to tell me what's the difference between mauve and salmon? But if you just want to tell me, is C the same as A or the same as B? What do you need the keys for that? You don't need the keys to know what a word means. Yeah, you don't need to know what the word means. Just so you know if it's like this or like that. So you don't need the keys.
It could be that the bloods are so similar that you can't.
So the Rambam might say, no, they're so similar, we don't even know how to compare. But then they say something else. They say, if you're Medayek in the Gemara, no. She is Tole by default. Unless we prove that there is a difference, and this dam looks like Nida. It's not that you need to prove something to be makel. We're makel by default unless you prove the chumrah. Meaning, and if you're really not an expert, then we're makel. Any blood we're told in the maka, we assume came from the maka, unless you know that there's two different colors and it's the wrong way. But so if you're not a Baki, then we should be Mekel, not Machmir. Okay, so that's why we reject our own body.
This, whoever's passing this Shiloh would have to have Paskin for previous.
Correct. And what do we say? If you happen to have Paskin previously, fine. And if not, by default, you're Tola. Correct. If you don't know, you're Tola. So what's the problem? The Raivid has a much more far-reaching objection. The Raivid was quoted. He wasn't put in this context. He was quoted as not relying on the Bigas Shofaris. But it comes up here also. What was the Raivid's objection? Which the truth is, they really did both say each other's objections. But exactly. Chumra Derabi Zeira. What does he mean? That was before Chumra Derabi Zeira. This Gemara was before Chumra Derabi Zeira. This Gemara was from the early days of the Amorim, in the days of the Tanoim. After Chumra Derabi Zeira, we're in the Tanoim all Dam, even if it's from Amaka. That's a big Chumra. That Chumra Derabi Zeira applies to Amaka. That's a big Chumra. Chumra Derabi Zeira applies to Damaka. After all, the whole point of Chumra Derabi Zeira is to make it simple and not have to differentiate. So to make it simple and not have to differentiate, we're metaming all Dam. So it doesn't matter if it's from Amaka or if it's from Nida. Now that would be a big Chumra. You know, that just takes out the whole cool of Damaka nowadays, right? Because of Chumra Derabi Zeira. Lamaisa, why do we reject it? I mean, it's not like any music. We just reject his assumption, right? Nope. It only applies to Dam Nida. Rabbi Zeira didn't mean to be tami all dam, whether it's nida or maka. He meant to be tami all dam nida, no matter how many days it was that you would eat shimon akiyah. But he didn't mean to extend it to a new kind of dam. He only meant that even if it's one drop, you still count it as if it was 3 days and you may ziva.
According to the Rabbi's understanding of Chumra Derabi Zeira, would he even consider dam from the sudden to cause shimon
akiyah? That is a great question. And I wonder about that. And I think so. Why? Because he's talking about the shofar test. And in the Gemara's Lashon, the shofar test says, in lav yadu shubanat studen utahora. He's not talking about the line of the maki. He's talking about the line of the shofar. And he says, oh, we can't use the shofar test nowadays because even it's from the studen, right? That sort of comes out of the writing, right? One of the writings. But the eidel lo sachina hach bedika latira. The way it's quoted is explicit. I think you would do shimon that's done in my read gosru. So the rabbi is explicit, even down from the tzaddik. That would be big chumrah. Nowadays there are a lot of women who have done from the tzaddik. I mean, what's common nowadays? A maka in the mukkah is not common nowadays. Why? Because we just have better health. You don't usually have bleeding in internal organs nowadays. At least not normally. Maybe you have some surgical procedure and it happens once. But you know, but a maka in the tzaddik is much more common nowadays. Because a maka in the sudden just means sensitive skin, and it gets irritated and gets a little cut or you know whatever it may be, and that can easily happen. You know, and you went to a doctor, he wouldn't say it's a health problem. I understand. You cut your finger, you bleed like 2 drops. That's not a health problem. That's just part of life. So, except in Kafka Mina, it can be annoying and confusing halachically. Anyway, so that's where the right would say, it's all tummy nowadays. You don't need any shulchan aruch. Okay, we reject this Raivan and Ramban, and we assume they're still told of Maka even nowadays.
Are we saying that the Raivan is applying Chumra Derabi Zeira because the whole idea of the Chumra is that to make it easier for the nurse to struggle? So let's just go and make it easier and say that all of them down.
I wouldn't say make it easier, say make it simpler.
Simpler.
Right, exactly. It's simpler means all down.
And we're saying that no, only the last down.
Home and down. Right. What's the reason? Some of the Quran say the reason Chumra Derabi Zeira doesn't apply to Maka is because then it could be impossible. Mele Chumra Derabi Zeira in regular dam, what does that mean? Well, it gets agreed once a month, so it's a little more machmir than it would have been. But a maka, what if a woman talk has a bad maka, bleeds every day? Then Chumra Derabi Zeira would make her get divorced, or Zeira would make her usher forever? Nah, Derabi Zeira didn't mean to be so machmir. Okay, and we'll come back to that story in a moment. Now, let's just think for a second about what's the halacha l'maisa. So, halacha l'maisa, what do we say here? Pashtos, let's give ourselves one more section. What about the idea of checking if it looks like dam makasa or dam ri'yasa, right? What about the idea of checking whether this blood before your Tola. So the Ramban had a bit of a shitas yachid, which we don't paskin like. Says the Ramban, nope, he sounded like she was asura until you prove that it's okay. Right? You either have to prove that this dam looks like dam makasa, or that they all look the same anyway. We don't paskin like the Ramban. The question is, what do we say? There are still two options. Do we say, if you can check, you should check? Or do we say you don't have to check at all, only if you notice? So, the BCOC pointed out that different parts of the Torah sounded differently, even though the main part of the Torah sounded like... Bays, the opposite approach is... Nope. Muteres min hastam... Well, let's do Aval. M. Let's do the middle shita. F. Sure. Levarer. Tzricha Levarer. She's Muteris Ben Astam. But if she can check, she should check. Like, if she does have the ability to check, then she should check. And if she doesn't have the ability to check, then she's Muteris Ben Astam. Or you go even further, which is really what the Rishonim quote in the Torah sound like. Muteris Ben Astam. The Eina Tzricha Levarer. Meaning, if she happens to notice against her will that this blood doesn't look like maka blood, it looks like needle blood, she's in trouble. But she doesn't even have to double check. So, the Shavar here is not 100% clear. Right? Does she have to check? If she can easily check, does she have to check or not? So the Taz quotes the Prisha and agrees with him and says, no, we don't collect our body. But if you can check, you might as well. And he gets that from Hilchos Shechita. What do we say in Hilchos Shechita? We say that even though most shochtim are qualified, if you can check if the shochet's qualified, then you have to. Say you see a guy shecht, you can assume he's qualified. But if you can like catch up to him and talk to him, you should check if he's qualified. So this is the Taz, the Prisha. Quoted and endorsed by the Taz. However, the Shach disagrees. The Shach says, in the end of the test, ain't Sri Laharis Lachakim Shunna, you don't have to check at all. Others, Yosef said, the Torah sounded in one place like you do, one place like you don't. Yeah, yeah, but really the Rush sounded like you don't. So the Shach says, you don't have to check at all. What's the basis for the Machlokes? We're not going to go into the whole Sugya now, but if you look at the Dugmar Vav and the Gilyam Arsha and all the later records on the side, of the page, they point out that this case is a little different from the case the Taz quoted in Shechita. Yes, it does say in the Gemara at the beginning of Chulin that even though most shoftim are okay, if you can check, you have to check. And we do make that as a general assumption that even if Rov is mutter, if you can check, you have to check. However, that is not so poshut. Because in the case of the Shechita, the animal was Becheskas what? Before it was shefted? Becheskas Isser. Live animals are Isser. Over here, the woman was Becheskas Heter. So explain the Dugmar Vava and the Megillah Marsha, all the Nechronim, that no, the Shach makes sense, and the Nechronim Magen Avraham to this effect as well. If there's Becheskas Heter, then you don't have to double check. You only have to double check if you can when it's Becheskas Isser. When it's Becheskas Heter, you don't have to double check. So, that's what the Shach says, even though in some cases you do have to double check. Like, for example, if you're not sure, you rent an Airbnb for Pesach, and probably they cleaned out the chametz, but you're not sure. Probably they do the bedikas chametz, you're not sure. You have to check if you can. That's mochorach in the Gemara Pesach. And if you see meat, someone shecht meat, you have to check if you can, etc. It's because all those things are becheskas iser. You know, there was chametz all year, and the animal was alive. But over here, in Shech becheskas heter, you do not have to check. Why? He says there's no need to check if it's Bechezkas, something is Bechezkas Heter. Then you don't even have to check if you can. And most Akronim seem to agree with the Shach here. Most Akronim seem to agree with the Shach here that Bechezkas Heter, there is no need to check. Now here, we get a very fascinating Pesach Tshuva here. It says, well, what if she's Becheskas Esser? then the Shach would certainly admit that she had to check if she could.
So now the question is, when is a woman becheskes iser, when is she becheskes heter? If you say becheskes iser means she's in the middle of her period, then it's really no shaila, like why is she checking anything in the middle of her period? So what would be a case we want to know if she's tahora, she's becheskes heter? If she's tamea, then why is she checking anything? The answer is, what if she's tamea but during Shiva Nikiyam? Then she wants to check, is this a clean day and this is damaka? Or is this a problematic day and I have to restart my Shiva Nikiyam because this is damnida? So here you get a fascinating machlokes achronim. A woman during Shiva Nikiyam, is she becheskes heter or becheskes iser? Ah, we're all learning getting the morning problem, right? Remember that Tosos? Right? That Beis and Beis? Right? On the one hand, a woman during Shiva Nikiyam is certainly becheskes iser because she's asura, right? Until she goes to mitzvah, she's asura. What does Tosos point out there? She's becheskes iser that she's forbidden to her husband until she tovos. But she's not becheskes, she's still bleeding. Right? We're not talking about becheskes iser, becheskes heter. We're talking about, perhaps, chazoka, whether she's still bleeding or not. No, she's not becheskes that she's going to bleed forever. So here's a fascinating question that comes out in the Shach. Now, I'm not saying this is the most lemaisa application, because usually, even if you can check, the checking won't help, because usually it's hard to tell the difference between the Dam Maka and the Dam Nida. But when does a woman, after she gets her period, become Bechezkas? Does a woman, or let's say Nida, when does a Nida become Bechezkas Einaroa? Bechezkas, she's not bleeding. When she entered that Cheskes Heter, here we have a big machlokes achronim, and this can affect many subtle issues throughout the Shulchan Aruch. The Noda Behuda here says, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Noda Behuda as saying that Tzara Talmud is not sure, but in the end he leans towards saying that the whole Shiva Nikiyam she's Becheskes Tumah. She's only Becheskes Heter after Shiva Nikiyam. So says the Noda Behuda. Only after Shiva Nikiyam. Now, you can explain the Noda Behuda in two ways. You know, there were the Shita in two ways. You could say that the whole point of Shiva Nikiyam is to prove she stopped bleeding. We don't believe she stopped bleeding until she has 7 clean days to prove she's stopped bleeding. So maybe it takes 7 days to prove she stopped bleeding. That would be against that Tosos. Or you could just say, no, she's still usser. So I don't care if she's bleeding or not, I just care if she's usser. That's the Noda Behuda, but others disagree. They quote here from a Mordechai, who assumes the whole question of Me'ikar Din or Chumra, but, and that's going to be in the Ramah and Simon Kortzadi, and Mordechai, quoted by the Ramah in the beginning of Simon Kortzadi, he says, Gimel Nikiyam, after 3 days of Nikiyam. Why 3 days of Nikiyam? Because of Shor Mord, Chazaka. After 3 days of Nikiyam, she's now Becheskas, not bleeding. But until 3 days, she's still Becheskas bleeding. The Chassam Sofer says, Achar Gimel Hedikos. Right, to Horus, obviously. If she does 3 bedikas and finds herself clear, then it's a chazaka that she stopped bleeding. Not 3 days, 3 bedikas. How long does it take to do 3 bedikas? Around 1 day. She does a hefsekar in the afternoon, and then a bedika in the morning, then a bedika the next afternoon, 3 bedikas. The chavos das, I have a footnote at the bottom of the line, depending on the dish you have, points out that even though he made him sound the same as the Bris Avraham, he's really not. The chavos das says that it's after a hefsek tara and one more bedika. She does a hefsek tara and then does one more bedika and that's clean. Then she's becheskes not bleeding. What's the logic? The logic is that we'll see this machlokes, but according to the majority of the Rishonim, she does a hefsek tara and one bedika, then she can go to mikvah. Okay, halacha leisa we're machmir. but she could then go to mikveh afterwards, and apparently that's enough to prove she stopped bleeding. And the most makel she is when he quotes in the verse of Raham, although the Aruch HaShulchan is convinced that this is absolutely true, and he's not, the Aruch HaShulchan is later in the Pesach Tshuva. But I'll just add, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Hefsek Tara. What is Hefsek Tara? She does one bedikah, gets clean. Now she stopped bleeding. What's the point? Point is, don't give me three times. If Chazaka means the status quo stays until proven otherwise, right? If you can prove, right? Let's give you an example. Baba Basra example, right? If Effie can prove that this house belonged to him once, we assume it still belongs to him until proven otherwise, right? If I can prove that, I don't know, something with her once, it stays much longer, but otherwise. So if she did a half sick hour, she did one, the deed check, and she's not bleeding, and we assume she's not bleeding until proven otherwise. Okay, this is Lemaisa. I don't know how Lemaisa this comes up here. I asked Rabbi Willig about this, and he says he thought we follow the Aruch HaShulchan, we pass like the Brisa Avraham, and really make her a day after Hefsek Tara, we assume she is Becheska's not bleeding. That seems to fit best the halachas that we find of Hefsek Tara, etc. So Pashtas, we pass can like the most makel shita here, that she's considering Becheska's Tara, not that she returned to her husband, of course, but Becheska's that she's not bleeding after one Hefsek Tara, which would then mean that, basically, we could always be tola in a. We could always be tola in the makkah, and we don't have to check because if she's tahor, she's becheskas tara, and if she's in shemitiyim, she's becheskas eno roa, and therefore the shach would be mekel. Okay, that's the easy part. Someone get the board. Okay. Now we get this very complex machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rashba, perhaps. And this has to do with, right? I don't know, in my days they used to call it eat shoots and leaves. I don't know if they still have that. But where to put the comma? Yes.
Yes.
Where to put the comma, right? You familiar with the book?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The Brisa says, I'll read you the Lashon.
Let's eat grandma. Another one. Let's eat grandma.
All right. Same idea. yeah, mine was a little less gross. What did the Brisa say? The Brisa then says what we see in the next Se'if. What does it say in the next Se'if? The next Se'if is relatively boring. A woman is believed to say she has a makkah, but also makkah that the dam comes from. Okay, it's not such a surprise, especially if we're in a good enough phase, that the woman's believed she's suffer loss. She's believed by everything else. Why shouldn't she believe to say she has a makkah? Who else is supposed to know if she has a makkah other than her? So, what's the lashon of the Gemara is pretty similar. The lashon of the Gemara is, Nemenes ishalomar makkah yeshli b'makor, shemimena dam yotze. Okay, what's the issue here? Let us put the comment. Let's puncture it. Ready? Nemenes isha lomar. What's she nemenes to say? Right? Let's open quote. Right? Lomar always requires an open quote. Right? Maka yeshli b'makor.
Is this still on Sanibab?
What?
Is this still on Sanibab?
Sanibab, yeah. It's all, everything's there. Shemimena hadam yotze. That's what a woman is, memenist say. Now, how much of this goes in the quotation marks? Right? Memenis isha lomar. I hope I have the lashon right. If not, then, it's right enough for our purposes. Shemimena hadam yotze. Okay, where do you put the closed quotation marks? Where do you close the quotation marks?
Either at the end or Machias.
Either at the end or?
Yeah, Machias, the Machorata here.
Right? Comma. Right? How do you punctuate this? Right? There's no punctuation in the Gemara, as we know. What's the difference? If you punctuate the first way, the woman's then menace if she says she has a maka and the dam's coming from it. But only if you know the dam's coming from the maka. Right? Meaning, yesh litlos b'maka rak im yadua. She's believed to say, but she has to say, shahamaka motziya dam. Right? Obviously, she can't say this drop of dam came from it. The whole point is that we're tola the maka. But she has to say, dam comes out of my maka. I have a maka that dam comes out of, and then we can assume this dam came out of it. Or, what's the other shot? No. Yesh litlos b'maka em yadua she yesh lo maka. If we know she is a maka, even if we don't know blood is coming out of it, she tells us she is a maka, and then we conclude on our own that the dam must be coming out of it. Right? Afilu eino yodua shehamaka motziya dam. That is the two ways to punctuate this line in the Gemara. Is it that Remekel, if she knows she has a maka that blood's coming out of? Or Remekel, she knows she has a maka, and we can on our own assume blood is coming out of it. This is allegedly a machlokas between who and who? The Mordechai and the Rashba. This is the first shot is the Mordechai. And the second shot is the Rashba. Okay, Machlokas, Mordechai and Rashba. Here it gets a little confusing because this is the way the Beis Yosef explains it. And now let me just this way Beis Yosef explains the Rashba. It's pretty clear this is also the way the Rama explains the Rashba. Leave it to Beis Yosef. The Shach says no way, no one would have been so makel. How can anyone be so makel? You don't know where the blood is from. If you're going to say you know you have a bleeding maka, then Tana, you know where you're told in the maka? Because, like, you know this is a real source. And everything else is a speculation. So, okay, maybe it was caused by Tashmish, by this, by that, but for sure you have a maka that's bleeding, so you're told the maka. But you don't even know if the maka is bleeding. On that basis, you're going to be tired? That's not enough basis for Kula. So the Shach actually says that no one ever said what the Beis Yosef said, the Rashba said. Everyone agreed with the Mordechai. The Rashba just said it in different words, and then Beis Yosef got confused. He says there is no such shita. He says, you know what the Rashba meant? The Rashba meant she doesn't have to say, I know it's bleeding this second. It's enough for her to say, I know it's bleeding. But of course she has to know that it's bleeding. If you don't know that it's bleeding, that's not a valid tliya. Okay, so this is a big machlokes.
How is it different than the previous sift? Because she knew that it was a maka. So if there's a maka, we don't know where it comes from. So what tola is a maka? So she's saying, I know I have a maka. So I can just do this again and be tola in that maka.
No, because this sift and the previous sift are the same line in the Gemara.
They are.
I mean, the second sif is actually the next line after this. So the previous sif is kafuf to this, is dependent on this sif. So, yes, Evan?
Are there makos that don't bleed?
Are there makos that don't bleed? Yes, you can have something. You never had a mako that didn't bleed? Never got a black and blue mark?
It
doesn't bleed. What?
Yeah,
it doesn't come out.
Okay, now.
Zat mutziya dam. Or maybe she could have a fibroid tumor in your uterus that bleeds or that doesn't bleed. I don't know, probably depends on something that I'm not sure what it depends on.
How does she?
Are we assuming that the maka is bleeding on its own? Or there's like,
Yes. The mind's bleeding on its own. It could very well be that the Shas Tashmish, it jostles it a little and causes it to come out.
And this conversation would also be just random.
Yes, yes.
How does she know?
How does she know? Because she can feel in her body that, like, what's going on.
That's when different books can talk about her feeling tired.
So it's interesting. The Pesachei Tshuva in Sefkatan something. Let's see if we can remember where. One of these Pesachei Tshuva's quotes, or maybe even in the. They said if it hurts during Tashmish, that doesn't count. Here it is. It's in Pesachei Tshuva in Chof. Zion says, "Le'im kov la'keiv b'shas tashmish itolav akvar. Dibru b'zesh shor harbi v'skamos avrim keiv in kamacha ve'im itolav shi'var b'varish shi'keiz zed bar yom who etc." So yeah, if it hurts during tashmish, that's not necessarily a maka. But if she feels that she has something really wrong with her body inside, then that's more than just the hurting during tashmish. That could be a real maka. You know, if she feels she has a disease inside based on how she feels, and even without modern medicine, they knew there were certain diseases, then that's really a maka. So she can know she has a maka, even if, without necessarily knowing that it is bleeding. Now, how do we paskin this machlokas? Let's assume it's machlokas Rosh Ben Mordechai. Even though obviously the Shach is going to be very disinclined to make it like the Rashba, since he holds there's no such sheet. How do we paskin? How does the machaber sound like? What would Eli tell us? The Mechaber sounds like the Rashba or the Mordechai. Where does he seem to put the quotation marks?
I think it's one line.
So he sounds like?
You'd say both.
Mordechai.
Sorry, the Mordechai.
Okay, what did the Mechaber say? Let's see. In Yesh Maka Ba'oso Makom Tolim Bedam Makasa. If there's a Maka, then we're told. That was, right here. Sefei, right?
Okay.
In Yesh Maka Ba'oso Makom Tolim Bedam Makasa. He doesn't say in Yesh Maka Ba'oso Makom Shemotzi Adam. So the simple pshat, this is what most Achronim assume. You could, of course, interpret whatever you want. Most Achronim assume that the Mechaber is passing like the Rashba. Obviously, like his job in the Rashba, okay? He's himself, he's this, he'll see. That, and therefore, a lot of Sfarim post can say, even if it's not Yiddur Shemotzi Adam, you can make one. How about the Ramah? The Ramah is very complex, but basically, what the Ramah is saying is, we'll read in a moment, he's passing basically like the Mordechai, and the Shach certainly is agreeing.
The Rashba is that it's, you go, is that. You don't know that it's mostly done.
You don't know that maka is bleeding, but you know you have a maka.
That bleeds. It's just you don't know if it's right from right now.
No. That's what the Shach says the Rashba means. Okay. Let's clarify our terms, because here it gets a little tricky. What does this mean? Means, l'chora, what this means is that even if you don't know that it bleeds at all. You don't know your maka bleeds at all, you just know you have something wrong with you. It sounds like the Mechaber's making in that case. That's a big kula. But it sounds like he's making in that case, even if you don't know that it bleeds at all. You don't know that it bleeds at all. You just know you have a maka. You've never seen evidence that blood comes out of this maka. But it could. Then you can be Mako. Says the Shach, no. And the Shach is very clear that he says, you think that's what the Rashba meant? That's ridiculous. The Rashba would never have meant that. The Rashba meant, even if you don't know it's bleeding right now, but you know it's bleeding in general, which is the same as the Mordechai. The Mordechai didn't say, you have to know it's bleeding right now. If you're bleeding right now, you're not Tola. Then it's a Vados. But you know it in general bleeds, so you can assume it's bleeding now. So what does that mean? That if you know that it bleeds in general, even if you don't know whether it's bleeding now. I mean, they don't require you to know that it's bleeding now. They just require you to know that it's bleeding in general. And this is basically the Ramah and the Shach, but I'll put a little asterisk because the Ramah makes some compromises.
So what does the Beis Yosef do with the fact that it says Shemena Adam Yosef?
Ah, if she says she is a Maka,
then we assume that.
Then we assume the Dom's coming from there. She doesn't have to say there's Dom coming from there. She just says there's a Maka, and we on our own assume the Dom's coming from there. It's a big cool. Okay, so now the Ramah actually makes it more complicated. Here he brings a lot of diyukim from some of the later Rishonim, and in the end, what the Ramah says is, I mean, it depends how you count. The Ramah says, so let's forget the Machaber for now. Right? If you're Sephardi, deal with the Machaber. And it seems like you're making across the board. How about the Ramah? The Ramah says we're making in four cases. What are the four cases? Let's first read the Ramah. The kol zeh be'isha sheyesh lo vestas kavua. Ba'ad yichol ha'litlo shelo v'shas vestam v'makasa af kishe en yodas v'vadai shemakasa motziya dam. What's the Ramah's first case we make? When are we tole b'maka? One case is if eina yodas shemakasa motziya dam, but it's a case of yesh la veses kavua ve rasa shelo b'shas vesta. This is a tseiruf of two shitas. What two shitas? This being mitzarif. What's the svara? Tseiruf of the Rashba from over here and the Mordechai from Sif Dalad. What are the, remember the Mordechai's other Shani Yishlo Vesta told Bevesta? He says, she has a Vesta Kabu and now it's not that time, she can assume that this is Dam Maka. Without any evidence whatsoever. He says, look, according to the Mordechai, you can assume without any evidence that it is Dam Maka. And according to the Rashba, you can assume it's a Dam Maka because you have a Maka, even if you don't know if it's Otsi a Dam. Put those two Tzadim together and you get a Kula. Two Tzadim Lohakil. Right? So he has two Tzadim Lohakil and gets a Kula. That's the first case he's willing to be Mekel. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that explicitly. If you look at the Brashis, they're up. Taf mashmo v'piskei maharai v'gosh ha'idura. It's his diok from some of the latest Ashkenazic Rishonim. Or, you know, postkim from right before his time. Okay, so that's his diok, that you put two stub and lahakel together. According to the Rashi, it's mutter because of the evidence of Ramaka, having nothing to do with Vestos. According to the Mordechai, it's mutter because of the evidence of Vestos, having nothing to do with knowing about Ramaka. So if you're two stub and lahakel, you can be Mako.
Is there a discussion of how likely she has to be that she has Ramaka?
She has to know for sure she has Ramaka. And what does sure mean? You know, as sure as we normally are about anything. No one's sure about anything. You know, we don't have to go back to Descartes' meditation on first principles. But I mean, it's like, sure, in normal life. Okay, that's his first kula. He puts the other two stud in the hakel. Second kula. V'chim e'in lo'es kavua. V'ein as... Okay, second case is Eina Yodas Shemakasa Motziya Dam and Safek Adam Min Hatzdadim Safek Min Hamakor, right? What is Stodim? Stodim means the Beis Achitzon. We don't know if the Dam is from the Beis Achitzon outside the uterus, or if it's from inside the uterus. And if it's from inside the uterus, she has a Maka. And what's the Svara? The Svara is Sveik Sveika. maybe it's min hatzdadim, maybe it's from the makar, and if it's from the makar, maybe it's damaka, and maybe it's damnida. So that's a classic sveik-sveika. Maybe it's from the stutter, maybe it's from the uterus, even if it's from the uterus, maybe it's damaka, maybe it's damnida, that's good enough. Through sveik-sveika, that's good enough. Because you're not mamish told on the maka. Saying, I have no idea if it's from the maka or not. It's still sofek if it's from the maka. So you make it on the sveik-sveika. Obviously, logically, it says it's in the echronim. This sveik-sveika only works if her maka is where? This sveik-sveika only works if her maka is where? In the makar. If she has a makar that's done, then it's not a sveik-sveika. It's the same exact thing. Maybe it's from the makar that's done, and maybe it's from the damnida from the makar. So it only works if the makar that's done was already covered by the first suffix. It only works if the hamaka, if the makar is in tzeis the toch hamakar. Then it's a sveik-sveika. Maybe it's from the tzad and maybe it's from the makar. Even if it's from the makar, there's a maka there and there's damnida there. Okay. So if, why do I say this? That means this sveik-sveika is not going to be, and, well, we have to add yeah. And obviously only if it's tzafik, tzad and tzafik, makar. Meaning, if she failed that funny tube test, then it's not going to help because then we know it's from the makar, not the tzad. Right, it's only if she hasn't done the B'dikas Shofaris. Now, this, why do I say this is not going to be a super common thing nowadays? Because most makas that post can deal with nowadays are in the study, and then you're not going to have a sveik-sveika. Usually the maka is, oh, she's a little cut in the sensitive skin, the base of chitzon. Not that she has a wound inside the uterus, because, like, where would you get a wound inside the uterus, right? Nothing goes in there. And, I mean, unless you have some surgery, which is not a surgery most people have. Ever, certainly not terribly often. But most of the time, most poskim shilos are makas in the stud, and then the sveik-sveika is not going to help. It's the same suffix. Suffix maka, suffix nida is the same as the suffix stud, suffix makar. It's only going to help if you have maka in your makar that you don't know if it bleeds or not, which is not such a common thing. It can happen, it's just not the most common case. Let's continue to Ramah. He says, but, avon yodur shabab in a makar, you know the damage from the makar. Even if she is a maka, there ain't no total of a maka and ain't no vessus, meaning she doesn't have a vessus kolum, so it's not case one. We know it's in the maka, so it's not case two. Then you can't be told that elam can you daf ba deshma kasam utzi adam. Right? What's the third case for mako? If it's she's yodas, if she knows. Motzia dan. If she knows the maka is motzia dan, then she can be mako without any other factors. Because obviously, meaning both Shatim and Gemara agree that what's the svara? The svara is that this is mufurish Gemara l'kuliyama. Everyone agrees that if you know it's bleeding, the Gemara is mako. We're not sure if the Gemara is mako only if you know it's bleeding, or even if you're not sure if it's bleeding. But if you know it's bleeding, then it's clearly the Gemara's Mako, right? That's the Shita of the Mordechai. Right? Afilu Vashitas HaMordechai. Kol Shekin for the Rashba. Right? Okay, continuing. One last line. Umikol Makom, Mishaz Desto, Mishloshim Yom Shloshim, Eino Tol Makasa. We'll come back to that. Then Lokim Mosan of the Olam. Uksamim Tolu Avachalim Yan. Samim were always mako. Samim becholim yan. What is the ksamim? Ksamim means not that you find the dam inside, right? Remember, we said anything inside counts as the hargasha. Because if you do bedika, the hargasha of bedika feels like hargasha of dam. If you have tashmish, the hargasha of tash feels yan. Not you find it inside in tashmish, you know, or in a bedika. Rather, she just finds the stain in her clothing. There's a rule of ksamim, somewhere to our bottom, as we mentioned, we're tola a kesem on anything, even if it's unlikely. Why? Because it's to our bottom. As a matter of fact, there's a Mishnah, a little after this, that Rabbi Akiva once had a case where a lady came to him with a kesem, and he said, what's the exact lashon?
maybe it's before this. Maybe I forgot where it was. I think I can find it. Here it is. Nun Chesman Beis. Let me just read you the story from the Mishnah. There was a story of a woman came to Rabbi Akiva. She said, I found a ketzel on my clothing. He says, maybe you had a makah, maybe you had a wound. Amalo, hey, Mechai says, yes, but it healed. Amalo, Shemi Cholis Galeel Hotzidam. Maybe, you know, even if your wound scab's over, if you pick the scab, it will bleed again, like you shouldn't. Maybe the scab could have gotten, not, you know, could have gotten knocked off by something, and then it could have bled. Amalo, hey, says, it could be. So Tari said, your Torah. Brought something to Scotland. He saw his students looking at each other like, why is the Rebbe the Reform Rabbi? Et cetera. He says, why do you have a problem with this? Chachamim are very meek on this because some are not midorais, they only Rabbanim, and therefore the Rabbanim have the right to be super meek. And the rule of Chachamim is we're meek on any possible other source for the blood, even if it's far out. So for sure, any kind of maka, even if it's far out, is good enough for Chachamim. Yes. Or white other. Yeah. So let's assume in this case the woman found it on white clothing. So Rabbi Akiva was makel because, okay, in some you're told very easily why, because you don't need to really think that there's a reasonable, that the odds are that it's from the makkah. You just need to have some tliya and then the rabbanim are makel. Okay, now let us try to analyze how we paskin about these various cases. Let's take them one by one. Okay. Here, the... Yes?
The shooter wrote about Yashu that we spoke about a while ago. He's like very anathema or something.
According to that shita, that based on early Yashu, seems repelled, then if she finds on her underwear, that would not be a kesem, that would be a riyah, and you could not be makel so easily. I mean, you could still be makel.
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, yesh l'ayin, there are still some ways to be makel, but let's think for a second. No. Then posh this. You would not be makel. You have to follow the other rules of the Rambam. Okay, but clearly the Rambam is not willing to be makel like the Rashi, like the Mechaber. He's only willing to be makel if it's Yadush Motziyadam, or like the Rashba, but not really like the Rashba based on Sfeik Sveika, or like the Rashba if you're Mitzarei, the Vesis Kavua, and the other Pshat of the Mordechai, coincidentally, is Mitzarei for the Rashba here with the Mordechai there, from the previous Seth. So do we paskin like him, or do we not paskin like him? Let us, without getting into every detail here, let's just summarize whether we paskin like him or not. Agav, what is the Makor? For number one, what is the makor of the Ramah? Interestingly, the Ramah says he is a diok in the Maharai is the Truma Sedeshen, and the Hagol Sharidura, which was written right before the time of the Ramah. I think it was quoting a Maharil. The Sharidura was safer from 200 years before the Ramah. Bar Yitzchak Midura. And then within the generation before the and during the time of the Ramah, they wrote a lot of Hagos, like you find Sharidura with like four different Berushim on the side from before the time that were around the time of the Ramah. And one of the Hagos, the Sharidura, he quotes late Ashkenazic Rishonim from a little bit before the time of the Ramah. So he is a diak. Interestingly, the Bach and the Taz thinks that's actually what this Mordechai meant. He didn't mean Stam Rotola. He only meant Rotola together with his other Shita of not having a Vesas Kavua. And they have a different read. Okay, so the Muk of the Ramah is, according to the Ramah, it's a Diuk from the Maharai and the Hagohos Sharidura. According to the Bach and Taz, this is the true intention of the Mordechai. The Mordechai didn't need to have two separate kulas. Or rather, the Mordechai didn't need to have an independent kula of vestos.
He only meant to have a kula based on Vestos when you're a market, you didn't know if it was Motzidam or not. Okay, in any case, do we paskin like it or not? What is the psak? So the Rama says, Mutter, he's mikkel based on this. The Shach says, no, this is slim grounds for kula. Very slim grounds for kula. We'll skip the later akronim. The Shach says it's very slim grounds for kula. This is in Sivkata. And he says that, the Bach also, the Rama says Mutter, let's just add, says the Bach, Muteres Ligamri. I'll explain what I mean by contrast with the Shach. Says the Shach, no. He says he's not sure that anyone ever meant to be making like this, but if they did mean to be making like this, it's a very dofakula, says the Shach. Mekilin Shelo Leosra Kedin Roa Machbas Tashvish. It's enough to be made that we won't make her a Roa Machbas Tashvish and get divorced. But, Aval Tmeya Tzricha. He says, we're just makel not to call her Romach was Tashvish in this case and for not to have to get divorced because Romach was Tashvish. We're not mamish makel, we still call her Anita. She's not Romach was Tashvish, but she is Anita. The Bach says she's the Teres Ligamri, she's the Hor Ligamri. Right, let's even say this better. The simple Adramba is not 100% clear. Right? He doesn't specify how Mutera she is, although Minastam you would assume like the Bach. Shach, that's maybe that's not what he meant. Right? Probably you would think he means like the Bach. If she is, she's Tahora, she's Tahora. Right? But the Shach says no. We can't say she's Tahora Lekamri. We can only say she's not a Roma Machmas Tashmish. Why? So, they're actually the Akronim come up with a bunch of different svaras for this. The Shach sounds like it's just a matter of Hakra. We're not willing to say she's Tahora, she's Tamea. Even these two Shitas together are both bad Shitas that we're not willing to be Mitzarif. He thinks the Rashba later will say doesn't really exist, and in any case, it's only one Shita, and that Mordechai is Shita's Yachid. Nah, maybe to not make you get divorced, we'll rely on this Dochel Kula. But we won't say she's the Horus. She'll still go to the Mikvah and come. Okay, she shouldn't even go to the Mikvah, because that's not the end of the world. We don't have to go use a Dochel Kula to make her Tahora. We have to use Dochel Kula to make her not get divorced. Some of the Akronim give other stories also. They say, well, you know what? Maybe, since most women don't seek the Tashmish anyway, these kulas are enough to say it's probably not Machmas Tashmish, which is unlikely anyway. But to say that that means it's not regular Damida, which is likely, nah, not good enough kulas. You know, if it's sort of Damaka versus Machmas Tashmish, that's easier to be makel. Because Machmas Tashmish is rare. Damaka versus Damida, which is common, that's harder to be makel. Lemaisa, that's a shach. The Taz is even more
Machmir. If a woman, let's say, if we're nervous about Machmas Tashmish and we're being makel, saying it's a Maka, would we still send her to the mikvah? Like if it's the same moment? Or once we're being makel, we make it, and that'll include that kind of thing.
So that's a machlokus within the day of the Shach, in the Pesachei Tshuva. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes that the Knesset Yechezkel said, if it is Ramach Tashmish, we'd be Matara or Lagamrik to be consistent. But all the other Akronim disagreed with this. The Sidrei Tara and the Tzemach Tzedek disagreed and said, no. We don't have to be consistent. We won't make you get divorced, but we'll make you go to the mikvah. So, good question. That's on. I'm quoting the beginning of Sivkat and Chofsa. Anyway, in the Maisa, what do we see here? That is not such a Pashat Kula. This number, well, Kula 1 is not such a great Kula. The Rama says it's Mutter. We're not even sure what he means. Does it mean like the Bach, like totally Tahora? Or does it only mean like the Shach? No, we don't make her get divorced, but she's still Anita and has to go to Hashem Nikim. And the Taz says we don't like this at all. He says if she has other evidence, then we'll be Mako. Lemaisa, keep in mind, Ramach was Tashmish, We don't usually apply so much nowadays. The big question nowadays is she Tamei or Tahor? Does she have to go to the mikvah or not? Right? The big question nowadays is, right, a woman comes, she has a bedika, usually not even a tashmish, and says, look, I have this drop of blood, maybe it's from a makkah. Or maybe it's damdita. No, we're not talking about Rama Sash, we're just talking about Tamei or Tahor. The Taz would say it's a problem, the Shach would say it's a problem, the Bach would say she's okay, and we're not even sure exactly what the Rama would say. Because he says she's okay, sounds like Mekhi Lekagri, but it isn't Simen Kuf Pezayim, so we're not 100% sure. Halacha Lemaisa, we'd have to be Machmir here. The Taz is Machmir, the Shach is Machmir, most of the Achronim follow the Shach here. Halacha Lemaisa, even though the Nug Yehuda is quoted in the Pesach Tshuva as being with the Bach. Right? So fine, we'll give the Bach a Nug Yehuda on the side. But lots of Achronim follow the Shach. A bunch of Achronim. Halacha Lemaisa will paskin like the Shach. Which means that, okay, if you get a Ramach was Tashmash Shaila, then maybe there's room to be Mekel. But it's pretty rare that we get a Ramach was Tashmash Shaila. If it's a regular Shaila, one wants to know, am I Tmeya or Tahora? Then we'll have to be Machmer. We can't use this Kula one. She says, I have a Macha that I don't know if it's bleeding or not. Plus, it's not the time of my Vessus now. We can't be Mekel like this Kula of the Ramah, at least not for regular everyday purposes. So this Kula has fallen in the garbage. We're sorry to say. Okay, let's try the next kula. How about number two? Number two sounds like a good kula. Something stud and something makor. Let's say a woman comes with a dika. Not I don't even think it's she's not coming with a dika cloth. She has blood on it. We have no idea if that blood originated in the studim or in the makor. Or if the tashrish, the man finds blood in his aver. Right, or whatever it is to be. We have no idea. How do we know if it came from the tzad of the Makar? She didn't do one of those fancy Shofaris tests. It's not a normal case. We have no idea where it came from. Right? And let's say she has a Makar the Makar. Now, again, it's not such a common case to have a Makar the Makar, I admit. So, do we rely on the Sfeik Sfeika or not? It sounds like a reasonable Sfeik Sfeika. Like, you know what, I don't this. Yeah, it might be from the tzad, it might be from the Makar. And if it's from the Makar, it might be from a Makar, it might be. That means it sounds like a good Sfeik Sfeika. Who disagrees, however, with this Sfeika? The Shach. And this gets into very, very deep lumbus. So let's go to, excuse me, number two. Kula number two. The Ramah says she's Tahora. And the Chorah, she's Tahora Lagamre, meaning a Sfeik Sfeika is a Sfeik Sfeika. That's a good Kula. If there's a Sfeik Sfeika, she's Tahora Lagamre. These Muteris I think he's an absolute heter. The Shach says, nope, Asura. It's not a Sfeik Sfeika. Why would the Shach say Asura? You can't argue with the Sfeik Sfeika. So the Shach says, you know why? I can't argue with the Sfeik Sfeika, but it's not a Sfeik Sfeika. Why is it not a Sfeik Sfeika? Who remembers? Who already learned this or a heter? No, at least a few people. Aha! But we, first of all, it's not so easy to be in Thakur. How are you supposed to tell if it's in the Tzadim or the Makar? How do you know? It already came out. And how are you supposed to know if it's in the Makar Damita? You'll say, what if they're different colors you can tell? But let's say you can't. Right? And not to mention the fact there are Ma Paskins, the Iker, Din, some Kofiud, you don't have to try to be in Fire, Sveik, Sveika. A Rove, you have to try to be in Fire. Kazaki, you have to try to be in Fire. Sveik, Sveika, no. Okay. Who remembers Kloli Sveik Sveika? Remembers Tosos in the first paragraph of Ksubas? The Shach says this. Hold on a second. If it's from the Tzadim, what kind of dam is it? Dam Nida or Dam Maka? Obviously, there can only be a Maka in the Tzadim. The Tzadim doesn't have any Dam Nida. So the Tzadim are Dam Maka. So what are we asking? Is it Dam Maka or from the Makar? And if it's from the Makar, is it Dam Maka or Dam Nida? The Tzadim is Dam Maka. So you're really asking the same question twice. What's that called? Anyone remember the jargon for that in Simen Kuf Yud? Sfeik Sfeika Mishem Echad. If both Sfeikos are the same name, the same thing. You can't ask a Sfeik Sfeika if both of them... Now, I'm saying you ask it differently. But the problem is that you can make everything a Sfeik Sfeika if you're clever enough, right? Everything's a Sfeik Sfeika. Right? You want to know, you know, I don't know, Pick any shaila, and I'll show you how it's a sfeik sfeika. Right? Ah, you want to know if this meat is kosher or treif. So what am I going to say? Maybe, you want to know if it's kosher or treif. Maybe it's bedatz eid charedis, maybe it's not. And if it's not bedatz eid charedis, maybe it's another good hechsher, maybe it's not. It's therefore sfeik sfeika that it's kosher. Right? Or I can just say it's treif if you want, right? Maybe it's from the Arabs, and it's treif. And if not, maybe it's from the Jewish slaughterhouse, but they found something wrong with the lungs, and it's treif. That's just asking the same thing twice. You can always come up with more examples of the same thing, right? It's not fair to come up with more examples of the same thing. It's only sfeik sfeik if there are two different sfeikos, not if it's just two examples of the same sfeik. I can't say maybe it's Eid Haredes, maybe it's Rav Reuben. Sfeik sfeik, it's kosher. No, those are both examples of kosher. And I can't say maybe it's treif from the Arabs, or if it's not treif from the Arabs, maybe it's treif from the Japanese. Maybe it's slaughtered by Arabs, so it's treif, and if not, maybe it's slaughtered by Japanese people, so it's treif. No, those are just two examples of the same thing. Here, there are two examples of the maka. Stodden can have a maka, and the mucker can have a maka. But there's just two, it's like a woman has two makas. You don't say sfeik sfeika. Maybe it's from maka A, and if not, maybe it's from maka B. No, that's one suffix. Maybe it's from the makas, maybe it's not. So that's all two examples of the same thing. Doesn't make a sfeik sfeika.
Are you an authentic one?
An authentic sfeik sfeika? Yes. An authentic sfeik sfeika is Yeah, that's an authentic sfeik sfeika. Such as, for example, I have a an egg that may have been laid today, may have been laid yesterday, and today is like the second day of Sukkot, which may be Yontif, may not be Yontif. So I say maybe the egg is from yesterday, it's not Mokhtar, maybe it's from today. Even from today, maybe it's not Yontif. Those are two different sfeikos. One is when the egg was laid, the other is what today is on the calendar. Or, you know, I'll just give, I mean, this is a controversial one. Here, what's a good one? Oh, the classic sfeik sfeika, right? Beginning with Ksubas. Right? A man finds Pesach Basuach. What does the Gemara say? Right? He finds his wife's not a Basuach when they get married. And they've been recess for a year, like the normal minute then. So he's afraid she might have committed adultery. And then she'd be a Asura to him. So we say, no, sfeik sfeika. Maybe when she slept with a man, it was before the Erusin, when she was a Pnuya. Maybe it was after the Erusin. Even after the Erusin, maybe it was Rotzon, maybe it was Ones. And if it's Ones, it's not her fault. Well, Aaron Sasa Dover, she's not a Surah to you. Those are two different sfeikos. Those are two examples of the same thing. One is Bias Pnuya, and the other is Arias Baonis. Those are two different things, not two examples of the same thing. As opposed to two examples of the same thing. You'll say something like there are subtle.
Yes, but it's subtle because both of them is it's a beer which she's not liable for. Same thing.
So you have to use your common sense.
So where's the line? How do you decide what is authentic and what is.
So this gets very tricky.
This is stunning,
the simple shot. The simple shot is. The simple shot is. The difference is whether it's the same halachic category with just different physical examples or different halachic categories that are both mutter. Two different halacha categories. They're both mutter as a sfeik sfeika. The same halacha categories you have two examples of is not a sfeik sfeika. So, here the shach says it's not a sfeik sfeika. Okay, he's killing the Ramah here. Now, the truth is later on some people question the rule of sfeik sfeika mishenecha, but let's assume it's a good rule. Who wants to defend the Ramah? To defend the Ramah, you might need to know some Gemara's and Nidah. All the Achronim I've seen defend the Ramah the same way. I'm sure there are many ways to defend it. You know, there's always room for a Popol Shel Torah. But the mainstream way, most Achronim defend the Ramah, the Nevi Yehuda says this, Chris Yuplasi says this, now most Achronim say it's defend the Ramah, is they say this is not the same halachic category in two examples. There are different halachic categories. A makah in the tzadim is a different halachic category than a makah in the makor. Why? So, this is based on a machlokas in the Gemara about what's called maka makor mekomo tummy. Is the place of the uterus tummy or not? What does that mean? We paskin, they say maka makor mekomo tummy. What does that mean? Dam, anything that comes out of the, any dam that comes out of the makor, even if it's dam maka, the blood itself is tummy and tumah v'tara. So what are the defender on about? You're saying, no, it's really two different things. If it's studim, the woman is muteris, and the blood itself in the days of tumah v'tara would be tahora. Dam maka of a person, a dam from a cut of a person is tahora. If it's from the makor, then at least the dam itself is tummy. If it lands on your truma, you can't eat your truma. Now, it could be dam maka, the dam itself is tummy, but the woman is okay. Or it could be dam nida, the dam is tummy and the woman is tummy. But there are different halachic categories. One halachic category is it from tzadim and the dam is tahor? Or is it from the makor and the dam is tummy in the days of tumah v'tara? Next halachic category is, if the dam is tummy, is the woman a nida or not? But it's not the same question twice. There are actually two different halachic statuses. Maybe the dam is tahor legamre, or maybe the dam is tummy, but the woman is tahor legamre. Right? So, look, meaning, let's say the dam landed on her finger, right? So maybe she's not even a rishon l'tuma, right? Because it's from the tzadim. Or maybe taka, she's a rishon l'tuma for touching this dam, and she has to like go to the mikveh and hari shemesh before she eats truma, but she's not a nida, or maybe she is a nida. So that's a good defense for Ramah. You have to then defend why the Shach object to it. So I know maybe you get a different shita about makor makom
atame. Is the first story for Ramah that maybe this is dam from the maka, or maybe the maka is bleeding?
No, maybe this is from the maka.
Okay.
Because the maka is bleeding is not going to be a good suffix, because the maka is bleeding is not halakhically relevant unless this dam is from the maka.
No, once we know the maka is bleeding, then we'll be told
of
all
time. Okay, the maisa, this is, the truth is what you're suggesting is a very deep inyan in Kvali Sveik Sveika. The whole issue of what's called a, you know, Sveik Sveika She'ina Mishapeches, if you don't magia l'safka she'ini until you answer the safka rishon, but that's not what the Rambam is saying, maisa. You know, yesh lotum, that's what the Rambam is saying. Anyway, yeah.
First case of
Sveik Sveika,
or
was it
just
what?
First case?
Not a Sveik
Sveika.
No.
Why is that?
Aha. So this is the machlokas between Rav Avadya Yosef and everyone else. Rav Avadya Yosef assumes, and this is the secret, this is the magical, secret magical formula for all his gemaras. You might notice Rav Avadya Yosef is always meitel. 99% of all machlokas between Rav Avadya and other famous poskim. And it's not fair. I can't compare Rav Avadya with conservative rabbis. You know, then he's always machmir. But I mean, Rav Avadya with other similar league, Gedolei Hador, 99% of the time, he is meitel. It doesn't mean he has a left-wing hashkafa. He certainly does not have left-wing hashkafa. He has a right-wing hashkafa in terms of all the political issues. But in terms of halacha, 99% of the time he's meitel. Why is he always meitel? So obviously part of it comes from his hashkaf zolam. But technically, almost all his kulas derive from one point. Whenever you have two machlokas aposkim, Rav Avadya says that's called a sveik sveika. So safek is mutter because of the first machlokas, and even if not, maybe it's mutter because of the second machlokas. What would Rav Avadya have said here? Maybe it's mutter because the Rashba's right in this sivya. And if not, maybe it's mutter because the Mordechai is right in the last sif. And therefore it's a sveik sveika and it's mutter. That's where he gets all his kulas. Almost all his kulas come from that idea of sveik sveika. But that is a shitas yachid. It's not technically a shitas yachid. I once tried to trace it back. I saw someplace he quoted his Zivchit Tzedek. I look at Zivchit Tzedek also held this. Zivchit Tzedek was a posek in Iraq, you know, a generation before him. I couldn't figure out where he got it from. Maybe I have more research. Anyway, that's a real shitas yachid of Rav Avadya. That anytime you have two machlokas aposkim, it's a sveik sveika. You should notice, based on that, you can matter almost everything. Because what's not a double machlokas aposkim? You know, like for example, he says, sometimes he's meikel legamre, sometimes you're stuck. So as far as he's stuck, you can eat in an Ashkenazi restaurant even though the mashgiach just lights the stove. Why? Because maybe the Ramah's right. It's enough for the mashgiach to light the stove to wipe the shalakov. Or maybe the machaber's right. That is a problem. But even if the machaber's right, maybe there's one sheet of Rabbeinu Avraham quoted in Tosfos and Avodah Zarah says no isser of bishul akum in a Jewish home. And since the restaurant's owned by Jews, there's no problem. That's fake, mutter. And likewise, v'chuli v'chuli, he has a snake snake and mount or everything. That is the secret potion that Rav Avadya uses to be makel, snake snake. However, no one agrees with Rav Avadya about that. If you ask any other posek, whether it's someone alive nowadays, whether it's someone alive two generations ago, whether it's someone alive 150 years ago, you ask them, what if you have two separate machlokas aposkim? How do you paskin that? How do you view that halachically? See, that's not sfeika sfeika. Sfeika sfeika is for sfeikos in what the metzias. You don't know what happened. Like this case, that's sfeika sfeika. Machlokas aposkim is not our sfeika sfeika. Machlokas aposkim, you have to paskin. You paskin one way or you paskin the other way. What if you have a combination of two machlokas aposkim? Then you weigh the two sides of the two machlokas and you paskin. Who's you? Maybe not everyone knows how to weigh those things, but a qualified posek. So if you ask anyone else in the world, what do you do if you have two machlokas of posek about the same shayla? They would say, you weigh all the sides using the judgment of a posek and come out with a psak one way or the other. Rav Avadya would say, automatically mutzik is a fake sveika. And they would say, no, it all depends. Who's on each side? Who's on this side? Who's on that side? Etc. How big are the names? How many names on this side? How many names on that side? You know, you have to use your judgment, just like all other issues of psak. Have you ever known how to paskin a machlokas aposkim? So, you know, maybe you and I might not know how to be machria. Okay, but a posek uses his judgment to weigh the two sides. So that's the machlokas in Rav Avadya and everyone else. Rav Avadya says, any time there's two machlokas aposkim about one case, it's fake, fake, it's mutter. Again, sometimes he says it like besimcha, sometimes he says it when you need to, there's room to rely on it. You know, he doesn't always love to rely on it, but he's always willing to rely on it. But that's not the mainstream derech of the poskim. The mainstream derech of the poskim, so if you have two machlokas of poskim about the same case, you have to judge whether it's worth, whether they add up to enough grounds to be makel or not. And that's what happened here. The Ramah judged these two tzadim are enough grounds to be makel, and the Taz judged these two tzadim are not enough grounds to be makel, and the Shach judged these two tzadim were enough grounds to be makel sometimes in the most drastic of cases, but not in regular cases. Okay, that's a matter of judgment. Okay, Rav Avadya would have said, I hope like the Machaber, I hope to get into the Ramah, I hope like the Rashba off the bat. But he would have said, that's Sfeik Sfeika. No problem.
But isn't that only one suffix? Maybe this one's right, like, I'm saying, maybe the Machaber's right, maybe the Ramah's right. Isn't that one question? Don't you need, like, you need to have it go down again? Like
no, here it would go down again. Maybe when it comes to Maka, the Rashba's right. Maybe the Mordechai's right. So if the Rashba's right, it's Mutter. Even if the Mordechai's right about Maka, when it comes to Veses, maybe the Mordechai's right, or maybe Rashi and Shari Shonim are right. Right? Maybe you can make it because the Maka line is more like the Rashba, and even if not, maybe you can make it because the Veses line is more like the Mordechai. That would be a valid statement of Rav Avadya.
You need to go down. You have to go down again to create that tree.
You have to have two branches. Yeah, but you do. Okay, but again, that's not mainstream psak. Okay, if someone's a Sephardi who always follows Rav Avadya, then good for him. He has a happy life in this world because he gets a lot of kulas, and he has a happy life in the next world because he's following one of the Gedolei HaDor. Okay, but if we, that's not our, that he lucked out. But if that's not our Masora, we can't just decide to pick it because it's easier, especially since it's a bit of a Shitzis Yachid. So basically, if you're Ashkenazi, you can't decide to follow Rav Avadya and have an easy life in this world and the next world. So you just have to have a, you know, somewhat more satisfaction from challenges life in this world and easy life in the next world and follow the mainstream derech of psak. Okay, that was a tangent, but I think it's an important tangent for knowing how psak works.
So keep the tangent going. Do you have any like, really controversial
I'm sure he has some really good ones. The truth is that most of them are just, I don't even mean controversial, meaning all of his fake figures are controversial, other people disagree with them. If you mean like juicy, like no, for the most part he's dealing with like everyday, like, you know, regular shaylas. He's not dealing with hot button political issues, etc. He's dealing with, you know, regular life, you know, what can you eat, etc. But he does have some really good sphinx fakers in there. Maybe we'll mention one a little later on in Hilchas Nida when you're stuck. But he does have some good sphinx fakers that differentiate him from other Sephardi poskim. Like, for example, he says, if you're a Sephardi who lives, let's say, in an Ashkenazi place where all the restaurants are Ashkenazi and the Mashgiach lights the stove and the goyim cook, then you can eat there because of sphinx faker. Maybe the heter of the press is being owned by the Jew, and maybe there's a heter of the fire being lit by a Jew. He says, and even though the Mechaber is explicitly machmir on both of those fakos, says, doesn't matter. Even though we follow the Mechaber, it's a sphinx faker, you don't have to follow the Mechaber, even though he's fired. He also has other kulas. He says, this is not exactly the same, but also this is not something which the other Sephardi post would agree with. He says, yeah, if a Sephardi is someplace where like the meat's not chalak beit Yosef, like in America in the old days, he could eat the meat. Why? Because maybe the marmah is right that you don't need to be totally glatt. Or maybe the mechab is right. Even the mechab is right, maybe coincidentally it happened to be very glatt. You never know. It happens sometimes. I mean, some cows are in very, very good health. So sphinx faker. Okay, there was one suffering in Tzias, one suffering in Din. Okay, there are probably other examples that are escaping me now. But you're not going to find juicy, but you're going to find ones that really come up in everyday life. And you know, you end up with a lot of kulas. And can you do it? Can you do a, you know, he came out with a lot of kulas in everyday life. You know, he said you could eat Hector Mechira. I said, you know, a lot of kulas. He didn't like Homerus. He wouldn't, I don't know. That's why the Ashkenazim never listened to him. They can't stand kulas. But he can't stand Homerus. So I guess it's even. There's a lot of other factors behind this as well. Part of the reason is, you know, what makes you a gadol, not just your gadolus. People ask you shaylos. So the Ashkenazim only like asking shaylos to machmir, right? Because you're only from if you're very machmir. Right? If you're not from, you don't have shaylos. And if you're from, you want to be machmir. By the Sephardim, they like asking shaylos to Megillah because even if you're not from, they're from and try to do the right thing. So make you a little more influence. Okay, but we're not going to sociology now. That's for Hak. Not for Shir. Okay. Now, how do we posit about this machlokes between the Ramah and the Shach? How do we posit about this machlokes, the Ramah and the Shach, and the Kula number two? Here, the Pesachim Tshuva quotes some later Achronim, in Sivkatan, and hopefully I find the right Sivkatan, and then we'll have to take Sivkatan Chav Ches, the Nod of Yehuda, says the Ramah is right. And he continues, and he says, quote someone else, he puts a verse wrong someplace here. Okay, it's someplace here. But the Nod of Yehuda certainly agreed with the Ramah. So he says that this is called a sphinx sphinx mishen echad, and it's no good. But the Ramah had the Nod of Yehuda on his side, quoting the Pesachei Tshuva. The Chazan Ish, he's obviously not on the page here, actually ended up agreeing with the Shach. Right, so this isn't something that comes up all the time. This isn't something that comes up. And the Chavos Das was basically also Machmir. He says that the Ramah is only if she finds it. He says that, yeah, you'd only make like the Ramah if it was without a Hargasha, without a Bedikah, if it was just a Kesem. Okay, but it's Kesem Shkoch. What's the Chiddush you make of the Ramah? He says, yeah, Mestam the Ramah is talking about when there's no Hargasha, there's no Bedikah, and there's no Tashmish, and he says, and then I was reading, I said, Mr. Shkar, so that's the Kesem. And he says, yeah, and that's a din of Kesem. So he basically passed like the Shach, even though the way he goes, he's Mekayim the Ramah, he said, the Ramah only meant if it's a Kesem. But that's hard to say as a child of the Ramah, because our later one talks about a Kesem. Here he's clearly not talking about a Kesem. So basically, for all intents and purposes, he's agreeing with the Shach. Halacha l'maaseh.
not so partial to be make on this case, because it seems to be there could be a majority that heard him on the side of the shock here, even though you have to go back and forth a lot in terms of the Kolei Sfik Sfeika. Halacha l'maisa, not so pasha to mekel. You know, you would have to think about it, see if there's other tzvadim involved. But you can the l'maisa, you'd have to be machmer for the shach unless you, you know, had some good judgment of avoiding this case. You'd want to be mekel because it's very hard to, you know, agree one way or the other in this case. So halacha l'maisa, we will leave this as. Right? Hard to resolve exactly who you follow here, and therefore we'd be reluctant to be Mako based on Kula 2, and we would then have some trouble. Okay, so what Kulas are left? Luckily, Kula 3 is still left. The Gemara has to be Mako in some case. If the Maka that Yodua Shemot Zidan, then we can be Mako, and that's really what posts can use nowadays. Right? How are posts ever told of Maka nowadays? They say, if it's a maka that we don't know if it's a tzia dam or not, we can't be mako. But if it's a maka that we know is bleeding, even if we don't know if it's bleeding the second, since we know it's bleeding in general, that certainly makes it likely that this blood is from the maka. This maka is bleeding in general, and now you have blood. Okay, put two and two together. It's the most reasonable explanation that it's from this maka. Right? It could be from this maka, which is bleeding in general. Or it could be from whatever, which is just coincidentally popped up. So Masam is from something that we know is bleeding in general and not from something that, you know, we have no reason to think is particularly present now.
Generally by other people, or generally she has to have that blood from this before?
Okay, good question. Okay, give me 3 seconds. And what about number three? So, it is very late. You know what? We will just, let's pick up with your question. We're going to touch on next time. So we'll pick up, we'll just spend a few minutes, number three and number four, which only have a few details. I don't want to go past 5 o'clock next time. I'll talk a little about maybe some like modern day applications that come up, and then we'll go weiter in the second.
Next week, you're
Now we're going to have an issue because we